To better your best and your world, you need to dig deep and grow. Join us as top experts, leaders, and creators uncover powerful insights to help you grow in life and in work. And now, your host, Michael McAvoy. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of Dig Deep Grow, the show dedicated to helping you better your best and your world. I'm Michael McAvoy, your host, and we are live. Today, we're going to be talking about success and how to cultivate it with Carissa Thomas. I'm going to tell you a little about Carissa. She is a contemporary success speaker, award-winning author, and life coach. She teaches nationally through lectures on creating a shift in consciousness. She is passionate about inspiring change within the self. Her philosophy derives from an innate place within her that was accessed through life experiences. Carissa, thanks for joining me.
Thanks so much, Michael, for having me on the show.
So anyway, you have a book that's going to be out soon. It's called The Look of Success. That's what we'll be talking about. But I'd like if you could go back a little bit and introduce our listeners and viewers to your background and what, you know, your drive was with becoming an entrepreneur.
Okay, yeah, well, actually, amazingly, I don't know how great my story would be, but in 2005, when I graduated from my undergrad, I actually decided that I wanted to be a little bit adventurous and relocate to a different state for a job, for work. And throughout my process, I was able to move from company to company and had tremendous success in climbing the corporate ladder. But somehow, I sort of felt a little bit unfulfilled, because I felt like, man, if I could actually do a little bit more with my time, my efforts, my skills. I feel as if I wasn't really being utilized the way I should. But however, I spent 10 years in the corporate sector, moving up the ranks and following that path, because everyone says, you know, that's the right path. That's what you should be doing. And so it wasn't until 2010 my life sort of took a slight little change. I had a bit of an injury, and I was supposed to run the New York City Marathon at the time. I'm actually from New York City. And I decided, man, I really wanted to pursue my book, my writing. And so in 2010, I said, wow, I mean, I was working so hard. Moving up the ranks required more time, more effort, more energy, longer hours. And so I was working ridiculous hours to me. I mean, 16-hour work days, and when you're in management, you really have to be present and available at all times for the capacity of growth in your career. And so I actually, in 2010, decided, well, I really have more to me to deliver. And so I wrote my first book, which is Uncertainty to Confidence, A New Way of Living Your Life. And that book became an award-winning book in personal development. And I was able to start my entrepreneurship journey sort of then. But I've always been an entrepreneur, I think. I've always had a job, or, you know, a regular job, and working up the ranks that way. But I also started little small businesses here and there, and always had some sort of corporation I was working on. And so I think, you know, there's a lot of sacrifice that comes along with it. So that's sort of like my background, was like, always, how do you balance this yearning and desire that you have within you and still do what you're supposed to do to maintain your livelihood? And that's always been something in the back of my mind as I begin to progress throughout my life. And then I sort of like branched off into entrepreneurship a little bit more. And my second book came along, which is Foolproof, A Woman's Guide to Self-Love, Strength, and Relationship. And that went into a whole different category, because as I begin to speak and talk around the nation, I encountered that, wow, women have, that's a whole different market. There's a whole different need there when we deal with women and in the business sector, as well as how do you manage all that stuff with families and having a vision and a dream, and how do you not deprive that part of you? And that's what actually led me all the way up to the look of success, because what is the look of success? And that's been something that I've been thinking about, and so that's how actually this whole journey came about.
Okay, I'm going to ask you a little more about that book, but I want to ask you a question about your corporate experience. You said there was something that it just didn't provide you. There was a yearning. What was it that corporate life didn't offer you that you finally found in your entrepreneurship?
I think my corporate journey, I was restricted. I mean, my job was to go in there and do what a manager is supposed to do, you know, be a manager over people. And I managed over hundreds of people. And I didn't have the real flexibility that I would have wanted with an individual, because people are so dynamic. People come with them with their visions. They come with their pursuits, their dreams, you know, their yearning to be successful in the workplace. But yet still, I have to be a person of authority, a person that has to abide by the practices and the books. And I can't get too involved with an individual. And that's really where I felt that I was being limited in my corporate job, was that I couldn't have the kind of flexibility I wanted to really impact in people's lives, to have a really deep impact where they can say, you know, they can transform it. There wasn't time in the day for that, because there was a job that needed to be done, and people had to fulfill those roles. And, you know, there is very little flexibility for me to impact a person's life in that way in the corporate sector.
Right. So you were in a box, so to speak, and you needed to grow.
Exactly.
Right. Okay. So that brings us to your upcoming book called The Look of Success, A Guide for Wanting, Achieving, and Sustaining Overall Success in Your Life. Now, your description says wanting success, sustaining success, and achieving success are just a few of the topics explored. Developing the right mental attitude and learning to focus on your goals are methods taught in this book. So I guess the first question on the book would be, what is the core principle that you're teaching or sharing throughout the book?
That the look of success isn't necessarily something that is so far beyond our reach. That is actually something attainable, and that you can control what you want it to be. You can have your success, and while everyone's success is very different, what success for me would be very different from what success might be for someone else. But the key is, there are certain key things which would be your pursuit of success, the process of success. It's not a very easy thing. It's something that you have to be motivated. You have to be self-motivated. You have to be consistent. You have to be persistent. There are certain things that comes along with the process of success that isn't all glamorous as most people think. I mean, everyone mostly looks at the finished product and say, oh, wow, that person has made it. That person is successful. But they don't see that there is a process involved, and there's a lot of labor-intensive time that goes into it. There's a lot of effort. There's trials. There's motivation. There's so much energy and effort that you have to put into it. And so I don't want that to get missing. I don't want the process to prevent a person from looking and achieving success. And that's one of the things I actually now spend a lot of my time training and dealing with a lot of young individuals that are involved in a networking business with me. And it's like they can't overcome sometimes the hurdle of what success means, and they're looking at everyone else's success, and sometimes it's not necessarily that person isn't showing success, but it's just they're creating a fantasy, something to strive for, but it's always the behind the scenes to what really is the truth of success. And so if you don't have the kind of success that you need, you always have to sort of find the happiness. And I think when you have the happiness, then you'll definitely achieve the type of success that you want.
Yeah, you mentioned that it's not an easy road to become an entrepreneur. For you, how was it in the early going, you know, when you left corporate life? Did you find that you had to really step up your perseverance level, you know, to stay on track with your what you were trying to achieve?
Absolutely, Michael. I actually had to, you know, when I actually started, I was in my early 20s, and so when you're that young and all your friends are partying, all your friends are having a good time. I mean, a good time to a young person is, you know, going to a local area and having, you know, going out, hanging out, going to a local bar, just relaxing and doing different things of that nature. And I was like, man, I really didn't want to take my money to do those things. I'd rather take the income I was making to pay towards businesses, you know, to the paperwork that's required for the businesses to put into the product preparation and all that good stuff. And so it's a very lonely journey as well. It's been like, wow, I have to make some real choices. And so it's not something that I would have thought for myself. Wow, I always felt like, wow, am I really sacrificing my youth for this? You know, it's always, you talk to the older folks and they would say something like, oh yeah, you know, this is the time that you live. This is the time that you live. And it's like, wow, this is the time I'm supposed to live, but I'm taking it in a different direction. I'm taking it into entrepreneurship. But I knew that if I pursued my entrepreneurship, it would bring me to the type of fulfillment that I wanted for my life, which is to do my own thing. I've always just wanted to do my own thing. So it's a sacrifice. And for me, I always felt like, wow, this is really a sacrifice. So if no one really gets you, it's like you're talking to some of your friends, and everyone is just on this, you know, going to school, getting a job, and just working for that company for the rest of their lives. And it's like, wow, well, I have a different vision for myself. But who do you really share those things with? Who relates to you? And so you have to sort of, you know, I actually had to find myself in different packs of friends, and sometimes had to have been alone for a really long time, just mulling through this thing, figuring this thing out all by myself. So that's what it was for me.
Yeah, it can be a lonely road, but you do find new people to associate with, and there's a lot of maxims about that you equal. Have you heard the one where it says you equal the five people who are closest to you?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So anyway, in your description, it says learn to listen to your own voice rather than the voices of others, and help them create that momentum that you need to get going on your goals. So the inner voice is tell me a little about that.
So your inner voice is very key in determining much of anything that you do. Your inner voice is going to guide and direct you into going in the direction that you set your own sail to. And so you have to be able to channel and fine-tune the voices, because some of the voices you may hear may come from the people closest to us. And some of those voices of people closest to us might be voices that may not support what we're doing. Because I know, like, I've always been an entrepreneur, and my mom is an educator. She has two master's degrees and all that great stuff, and she believes in education. And that's great, because I actually can pursue my executive MBA right now. So I'm not against education at all, but when you go along the path of entrepreneurship, it's a very different lifestyle. It's a different road, because the rules become a little bit different. You're almost as if, you know, there's no clock when you venture into entrepreneurship. There is no, this is when it starts and this is when it stops. It goes on continually. And so for me, the inner voice, you have to be able to channel everyone out. You have to be able to listen to what's right, and you feel it. And I'm not even saying you can't take advice from individuals, because it's something different, but when it comes to your vision and your dream, only you have that. You're the only person equipped with that information, and you're the only person gifted with that information. Some people have a vision and a dream, and nothing can take that away from them unless they allow someone to come in and take that and demotivate them. They have to believe in themselves. And so many times I've spent countless times just telling people, you have to believe in your own voice. What is it for you? It's completely different for me, but you have to channel out and really find to and listen to what that drive is within yourself, and that dream and that vision you have for yourself, so you can get the results that you want.
Get this podcast delivered to you automatically. You can subscribe via iTunes, Stitcher, and more. You'll find the links here or on our website, digdeepgrow.com. In your experience doing coaching with individuals, would you say that there are individuals that you just know are not cut out to be an entrepreneur? Or is your advice always to say, look, anybody can be an entrepreneur? It's going to be harder for some people than others, but I'm just kind of curious whether you ever give advice to say, you know, this is just me, my hunch, but you know, I really feel like this might be you know, a little bigger than you're ready for now. Or what's your thought on that?
I think there's timing and positioning for everything, for everyone. Everyone has different timing and positioning in their lives. And so in terms of, you know, what someone's capable of, I have encountered individuals that have big dreams, big visions, but their execution and how they do it, how they go about it, doesn't come out to the way it should. I've seen that so many times, that they have the passion, they think they have the passion, and they have it, and they are consistent, and they think they're consistent, but they are doing something within their own philosophies, their own practice. There are certain things that they're holding on to, strongholds that are bigger than them, maybe, I don't know. There are different strongholds that they have that are preventing them from moving forward, from preventing them from moving forward in their lives. And I think a lot of that has to do with their vision. I think that's a messed up vision. I have encountered so many people with high drives, or their belief system is supposed to be really strong, but then their execution is something in the execution part. And I think that deep-rooted execution part, why it's not coming true, is because they don't really believe in themselves. They don't really believe that it can be possible. You know, it's almost as if someone is saying, yeah, I really want to be an entrepreneurship, but take extra hours at work. It doesn't make sense to me. It's like, how can you say that you want to pursue something, you really believe in it, but then you take extra hours at work and now you're working 120 hours a week? It just doesn't make any sense. So you really have to decide and determine how big is your vision. What is your why? Some people don't have the big enough why. And so sometimes the fear of the unknown is really what keeps people back. And it's not that so much that a person isn't cut out for it. I think it's a person's belief system isn't up to par. It's that their own belief system isn't strong enough to get them through the journey itself. And that's why it's so very few people at the top in entrepreneurship and really pursuing it and really thriving in the industry, because they have a strong why. They have a belief system that really outshines others. They're really determined. And that's what the process, you know, the process is not an easy thing. The process of success is so complicated, but it's definitely something that if we can focus on it more, if we can up our belief system a little bit more, if we can stop looking at the other guys and focus on ourselves, and stop always reading the books and take more action, then it's possible. But I think a lot of people are full of a lot of talk. Like, oh, they're just talking and not doing.
Right.
So that's a big hindrance as well.
Yeah, the jump between vision and execution is probably the biggest gap for anyone trying to be an entrepreneur. What do you find is the issue with execution? Is it that people just aren't educated in the steps to take in order to do it, or is it something about the drive that has to happen behind the scenes?
Michael, you know what? To be honest, I think it's a little bit of both. I think it's a little bit of both, because sometimes people don't realize it's not necessarily, people always believe that there's a specific or special way to execute something, that there's a right way, and they don't even give themselves the opportunity or the chance to just take a chance. People are afraid of risk. They're afraid of losing if the risk that they took didn't pan out to be the right thing. And so any part of entrepreneurship, any part of anything that you're trying to do requires risk. And so there's no education system. There's nothing in place that says, okay, if you take a risk, a calculated risk, or whatever type of risk that you're taking, there's bound to be losses. Everyone assumes that if they take a risk, they take a chance on themselves, that there always should be success. And that's the mistake people make, that there's automatically all this expectation that there will be results, the results that you want. And so we're not okay with the fact that there are the type of results that end in a learning experience. People are just not ready for that kind of reality. They just think, you know, especially when you have a society that's based on instant gratification, where it's a microwave society, where everything is just happening all at once. And we're in a different decade right now. I mean, we're in a completely different generation as well, where everything is just happening all the time and instantly. There's no room to say that there's a risk. There's no room for education in the sense of learned experiences, things that you try and fail, and things that you try and understand that you have to get back up. So there's a lot of motivation that has to be bred into the process as well. But you have to be able to understand that a risk is a part of it, and you have to be able to take it, and you have to be able to accept whatever the outcome is, whether good or bad. And it's, a lot of the times, a lot of the success people see are all some that, you know, they just didn't have any expectations for, and then it just happened.
Okay. So now, let me, I want to dive in a little on something you just said. The idea that people they're not ready to fail. And what happens is when they have a defeat, they just expected that that wouldn't even happen, that there wouldn't be stairs going up, you know, to whatever the next level is. So I'm just curious if you make if you put together this idea of failure, and in our society the idea that there's a little bit of entitlement, an attitude of entitlement that means that, well, hey, you know, I'm here. I live in the United States of America, and I deserve this or that. You know, what's your thought about the cultural expectation?
The cultural expectation could be a limiting factor. It can be something that doesn't push you to success. It can be something that says, you know what, I am entitled to this and I'm entitled to that, but what people really should focus on is the actual results that they're getting. People are not focusing on the actual results. They're not spending time thinking about, okay, I've done this, I've done this, I've done this, and these are the results I'm getting. Is it getting what I want, or is it not getting what I want? And so we have to really sit back and get real with ourselves. We have to sit back and listen to the fact that, hey, there has to be a reason that A is not manifesting the way it should. You know, for instance, for a person who's going for a job promotion, for instance. And, I mean, hey, I'm not innocent of it as well. I mean, I remember times when I was actually in the beginning of my career and I was moving up the ranks. And I was actually in sales at one point, about Fortune 500 company. And moving up the ranks, I'm like, man, I am way above this position. I'm just like fed up with this. I'm number one in everything. There has to be more for me. And I remember applying to different stuff, and my management team came, and they're like, you can't just apply to stuff like this. Maybe there's a process. And I'm like, what's the process? Why no one ever told me that there's a process? And so, you know, it's almost as if, okay, fine, I'm willing to go through the process, whatever the process is, but I'm glad I took a chance on myself to put it out there, but I wasn't going to be stopped either. I wasn't going to let my management team tell me that it wasn't time. Yeah, of course it's time. I've been in this role for 4 years now. I think it's time for me to do something different because I'm exceeding. If you can't see I'm exceeding, then something's wrong with your vision, you know? So it's a double-edged sword because we do have a sense of, listen, you know your worth, but you have to fight for it. It's not handed to you. Your worth, you know, shouldn't be determined by what everyone else is saying. You have to be aggressive and probably push a little bit more for it. But not everything that you put your hands in, you're going to get. And that's the reality as well, too. Not every single thing that you touch will turn into gold, you know. I mean, that's just the misconception that we have as well, Michael.
Right. And the example you just gave, you know, where, you know, you had a vision of going further up the ladder, and you might have been reaching a little further than other people believed you should be, but you didn't take the role of I'm entitled. No, you said I am worth this and I'm capable of this. That's different from feeling an entitlement attitude.
Right.
Okay, so let's go through some of the areas of the book that you have focused on that you feel strongly that maybe these would be things to mention here on the interview.
All right, so a few things I think definitely we want to be able to focus on. One of the key things, one of the chapters I discussed, your energy level in the process of success. And that's something that's probably not looked at pretty often because we don't consider our energy to be worth much of anything. But if your attitude and your energy is in the right place, if it's in a drive that, you know what, I'm optimistic, and I know people always say, oh, this is such a cliche, you say that you're optimistic and be positive about what you're doing, but you have to have the right energy level for your business. You have to have the right energy level for whatever pursuits that you're having. I mean, it's not that you're going to sit and wait for, you know, everything to happen. But you got to build that door to success. You got to build that door for what you're looking for, the opportunity that you're looking for. But it definitely requires the right attitude. It requires the right focus. It requires the right energy that you put into it. And you cannot be defeated if it doesn't happen right away, if it doesn't happen instantly. It will take a process. It will take some time. You know, similarly, I was in a position where moving from one position to the next took me 6 months, 3 interviews. I remember those days, and I'm like, what is going on? 3 interviews, and I mean, what more can you ask? You know, I mean, I know all of you guys, but I think, you know, just knowing that you're the right fit, knowing that if you will actually give up, are you going to be persistent? Are you going to have the right attitude on the third time that I see you? Are you going to be continuing to show the same spark? And sometimes we lose the spark in so many things. People lose sparks in relationships. They lose sparks all over. And so you have to maintain the energy level in what you're pursuing, the success that you're going after. That energy level is so important. And that's one of the things I focus on, because it's something that's overlooked a lot in the pursuits of happiness and success and all those great things that we have. The other thing, maybe another key thing that people always find challenging is money. It's always a big topic about, you know, when you're looking after success and you're going after success. And these are just the things that I feel in the book are maybe some of the things that may want to stand out to people, because those are the things that really drive home to them. It's like, I don't have enough money. I don't have the money, and no one has the money always. It's always a money issue a lot of the time. But the key is that you have to be able to create money. And that's the thing people have to figure out how to do. And the way you create money sometimes requires you to put in some more effort, maybe more hours, but it also requires you to seek out other opportunities and don't close yourself off to the possibilities of opportunities out there to do what you want to do. Sometimes you can take on maybe, you know, some sort of network marketing job, for instance, or, you know, business, or, you know, a different type of business that you may have. You may have a skill set that you don't, that's underutilized, for instance, you know, and maybe you may have to do something that's not so glamorous for the sake of building your dream. And so when it comes to money, I think people really limit themselves because they let the money stop them from moving forth in their dreams, because they feel as if they have to have everything all at once, all the money that they need all at once, all the costume preparations all at once. They need everything, and it's not true. It's just not realistic, and you have to be able to work through some of those things. And one of the last things, I guess, of the things I would really like to point out in the book is probably maybe the self-evolution. When you begin thinking about the process, as you go through this process, there's something that occurs within yourself. Your eyes are opened, and you have to be able to take the lessons that come. And it's not so much that the success is what we're the goal that we're trying to achieve, but it's more or less the process that teaches us so much. And we got to be able to be reflective and open-minded to everything that's coming our way, so that we can navigate better for the future.
Yeah, that sounds, what you just said, you know, implicates the idea of your inner process. And you mentioned in your bio, it mentions the idea of consciousness. Can you speak a little about the inner game, you know, whether it's a spiritual point of view for you, just about that inner game that allows you to tune in to what is true for you?
I think spirituality is definitely a part of the journey to success, because I feel as if sometimes if you don't have a strong spiritual back end, that the little influences, the big, well, it's not necessarily little, but the outside forces that tell you that you cannot, the people, your social network, the wrong circle, the wrong, you know, the opportunities not coming fast enough, those are the things that hinder you. Those are the things that really tear your spirit down. So you have to be able to keep that spirit life. That goes back to that same energy level. You got to be able to keep your drive and protect it. You have to protect that vision. You have to protect it. How do you nourish a vision? How do you nourish it? It requires nourishment, right? It requires a sort of energy field that you have to create. And the way you create that comes from spirituality. You have to have that place where you can center yourself, stay quiet, get quiet, and really channel yourself on what you want to do. Find that peace within yourself, whatever it takes, because it's going to require so much, because you're dealing with people. You're dealing with a social media outlet, a social atmosphere when it comes to presenting your dreams. Most people who have a vision isn't just for themselves. It's really to market to the world. And so if you're marketing it to the world, the oppositions come from 8 billion people to one. So it's kind of like, oh my goodness, 8 billion people to one. You better have some sort of backing, whatever that backing is within yourself to keep you going. And I find spirituality is definitely one of the easiest things, because it really nourishes you. You don't have to do that all by yourself. There's so much YouTube, and with this social media technology generation that we have, you can Google something really quickly or YouTube something pretty quickly, and you're right there. You can really channel your energy and get that thing right back up, really get that vision that you need. All that hard work and spirituality is already done by so many masters of religions that can motivate you, even, different speakers and all these different things that you can do to nourish that. So there are tools in place, especially when it comes to that spiritual nourishment, which you need. And the reason why you need it is because you have a vision, and the vision is not tangible. It's nothing yet. It's just something within your mind that you're building it. Even if it is starting to manifest itself, it has to keep growing. And the way you're going to continue to build your vision, you got to keep nourishing it, and it comes solely from you. And so that definitely requires you to build a strong spiritual core.
Yeah, very well said. So you're a woman entrepreneur, and your last book, I take it, was aimed mostly at women. Do you take that tact with the new book, The Look of Success?
The Look of Success, there is a chapter there for the ladies, because I am a female. And so, I mean, it's difficult for the ladies to sometimes, I feel, channel everything, all that success that they need. And so this book is mostly for everyone who's attaining success, but of course, I feel as if there is a need for the female population to really go after it. I don't think there's still some limiting factors there that tells, I don't know if it's a cultural or social, whatever it is that's going on with the ladies, but there has to be a lot of self-love. There has to be a lot of strength. There's not enough hunger and drive for entrepreneurship as it is for men. So definitely, I think it's definitely something to look into for the future. However, I know that I provided you with a free gift that you can give to your audience, 100 business world survival tips, and it's definitely both for everyone. But I think if the ladies pay more attention to those tips, they'll definitely be able to get ahead a little faster in their pursuits to success and whatever their endeavors are.
You mentioned the download. Have you got a link that you can provide? We can actually put it in the show notes, but you could provide it after the show and make sure that we have a link for people to download that.
Absolutely. Definitely, I know that if this can be in the show notes, that'd be great. And then it could always be on my website at ineedashift.com, and people can always get it there as well.
Okay. Last question. The subtitle of your book is The Guide to Wanting, Achieving, and Sustaining Overall Success in Life. It follows a linear timeline, wanting, achieving, sustaining. Talk a little about the wanting in particular, but it sounds like you're taking a step-by-step approach in the book. Is that right?
Absolutely. There is a step-by-step approach, and wanting success is just part of it, desire. Remember a little earlier we talked about just how do you get the threshold from wanting it and actually achieving it, taking that action step. So once you get through why you want to take that action step and really actually pursuing it, that's sustaining it. You know, the spark of success isn't always going to be bright lights all the time. It's going to be something where you have to maintain and sustain, and it's not going to be beautiful all the time. So sustaining it, you have to still find peace and happiness, but wherever it is. And I think sometimes people get into trouble because they think it's always supposed to be sparks, always fire and flames and sparks. But they need to be content with this is the result, and this is what it is. Yeah. A lot of times people don't feel as if they want to be comfortable with what they've achieved. And I don't know, maybe it could be overachievers. Well, something like that. But
you mentioned fire and sparks. You know, if everybody was at that level all the time, that flame's going to burn out pretty quickly. So you got to go with the rhythm of life on that one. But anyway, Carissa Thomas, the book is The Look of Success, The Guide to Wanting, Achieving, and Sustaining Overall Success in Your Life. The book will be out shortly, available just about everywhere. So, Carissa, I thank you for joining me and sharing the wisdom of your entrepreneurial journey.
Thank you so much, Michael, for having me on the show.